There were two sets of steps per floor. It was really long, and it was very dark and smoky. And at some point, I couldn't see it all in front of me. I had to hold on to the person in front of me. Many people were anxious. Many people were rushed. They would almost push some people down to get down the stairs. People were just pushing and shoving and, you know, acting like New Yorkers. The noise, it was like an overwhelming noise. I thought a transformer might have blown, but it sounded even too loud for that. Not only that, the building shook. The building always had a sway factor because we're up so high, but it wasn't like this before, ever.
Well, it's not every day that a bomb goes off while you're sitting in your 72nd floor office looking down upon the Statue of Liberty. Smoke climbed up our guest stairwells, but she had to climb down those same stairs in the dark with a knee brace and a tissue covering both her mouth and nose. Today's guest on The Age Sage is Paula LaCosta, and boy, does she have an amazing story to share with us today. So without further ado, let's dive right in with your host and the senior editor, Robert J. LaCosta. Robert LaCosta here, and welcome to another round of Age Sage. And today's special conversation is with Paula LaCosta, who just happens to be my sister. Paula, welcome to the Age Sage.
Thank you, Bob.
We never ask women our age, but we'll just say that you're a senior.
Definitely.
Paula has an incredible distinction of being a survivor, and I mean that literally. In what year was the first bombing?
1993.
Of the World Trade Center. And what floor were you on?
72nd, and I had a knee brace on my left leg at the time.
And the elevators weren't exactly working.
We weren't allowed to go in them because of the smoke.
And so this paints the picture of a long, arduous, smoky exit with someone who has some asthma type.
No, I got asthma after the bombing.
Okay, after the bombing. So I want our friendly listeners to realize that you had to go down 72 floors.
No, 144.
144.
Because there were two sets of steps per floor.
Oh, gosh. Let's do the numbers on that. 10 per landing?
It was really long, and it was very dark and smoky. And at some point, I couldn't see it all in front of me. I had to hold it onto the person in front of me.
What was it like in there? Were some people a little bit more calm and some people a little bit more anxious?
Many people were anxious. Many people were rushed. They would almost push some people down.
To get down.
To get down the stairs.
And did you see anything like the younger people went fastest and didn't care? Of course, you were younger at the time.
Yeah, but it didn't matter. People were just pushing and shoving and, you know, acting like New Yorkers.
What was the first sign that something happened?
The noise. It was like an overwhelming noise. I thought a transformer might have blown, but it sounded even too loud for that.
Now, you're up in a 72nd floor, and this was down in the parking garage.
Exactly.
And it still sounded loud.
Not only that, the building shook.
Did the building ever shake before, wind or anything?
Well, the building always had a sway factor because we're up so high, but it wasn't like this before, ever.
So when the building shook and the sound, did any of your coworkers look disturbed, eyes popping out? What the heck's going on?
I was in my office at the time.
And your office was beautiful. You overlooked the Statue of Liberty.
Yes, but I was isolated from my colleagues because of the office, right?
Yeah.
So I had to go out to talk to someone in another area of the building. And as I walked over there, I noticed the smoke.
Where did you first see smoke?
Well,
ventilation or?
No, it came up through the stairwells.
That must have been some bomb.
Yeah.
Do you know anything about the bomb?
No. I just know that it was adjacent to a piece of the construction of the building that was a support beam.
Isn't it little weird? I mean, when from your office, you were looking way down upon the Statue of Liberty, just to give our listeners an idea of just how high up 72 floors is.
Oh, yeah.
Because some people may never have been up a 70 or 100-story building before. When you were up on the top floor, Windows on the World, is that
yes.
what it's called? It was a restaurant bar. You could actually see the sway.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I remember being kind of dizzy up there.
Mm-hmm.
It was also a little weird looking down upon helicopters.
Right.
You're looking down on whirlybirds.
Helicopters frequently went right by my office window.
So we're trying to paint a picture of just how high up you were and just what a long escape you were about.
It took 2.5 to 3 hours to get down, particularly because my leg was in a brace at the time.
And many, many people, if you were in a brace, must have gone past you.
Oh, yes.
Did you ever get worried you weren't going to make it?
No, not really.
You thought you would do it?
Oh, yeah.
Why?
Because I was able to breathe even with the smoke.
At what point?
And the smoke wasn't so hot that I was concerned.
That like a fire. So at what point were you told or realized that a bomb had gone off?
Not until the next day.
There was no announcements, no security?
No.
But everybody just intrinsically knew something was wrong. The building shook. There was a loud blast. Everybody goes to the stairwells.
No, because it was once the smoke got up far enough, that's when people started leaving.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, people weren't leaving.
That's amazing, because nobody knew. And there was no communication?
No, there was not good communication.
Were the phones still on?
Yeah.
You would have thought security would have said, please exit the building and try to keep people calm, but get them the heck out of there.
They weren't prepared for it.
Were any lives lost?
Oh, yes.
And where were the lives lost? On the bottom floors?
Yeah, in the mailroom.
Do you know how many? I mean, dozens?
I think 5, and then several people were injured.
Yeah. What kind of lasting effect did the smoke have on you, personally?
I ended up with asthma. I never had asthma before.
And what was the smoke like? What did it smell like?
Oh, it smelled like burning plastic.
Ugh, that's disgusting.
Like the wire, the coating on the wires and all the computers and stuff that had gotten burned. I mean, next to the mailroom, there was all kinds of
computers
and things. Yeah.
Technical stuff. So if someone can imagine, boy, my toaster doesn't smell right, and then they unplug it and they see the cord maybe frayed or something. Oh, boy, that's a terrible smell. Yeah. Multiply that by all of the power of that bomb going off and being trapped in a stairwell.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't see well because the soot in the smoke was getting my glasses dirty. And then on top of it, it was just so thick at certain points I couldn't see. So I was holding onto this guy's shoulder in front of me.
So I have to ask you, you said it's a 2.5 hour, 3 hour flight down the stairs because you're limping and you've got a brace on and people are pushing and shoving. You get down to the bottom and that's when you find out?
No, it wasn't until after I was out of the building, back home, and heard the radio.
That's just amazing that nobody was saying, what happened? And then somebody would have found out somehow?
Well, people were saying what happened, but nobody knew.
That's just incredible. And just to refresh our listeners' memory, do you remember anything about it was a white van?
Yeah, there was a white van that had been rented in Jersey City near the mosque of the guy who they accused.
Was he convicted?
Some people were convicted. But, mm-hmm. took a long time.
And to this day, you still have asthma?
Yes. So my lungs were pitch black for 2.5 years.
Do you know anybody else who had the same thing? Any coworkers?
One of my colleagues did. She was in a different department, and she had also had a sore throat and stuff before then. So her immune system was a little bit compromised when she was affected by that.
So if we go back in time, this probably affected thousands of people with either if they had a propensity toward a lung issue or upper respiratory.
Yes, I'm sure it did.
Oh, boy. Now, the question that probably every listener is wondering, when did you go back?
It happened to be a Friday, and I was supposed to go on vacation the following morning. But instead, I went to the hospital, got checked out, and they told me to come back and see a specialist the next day. I did that in the morning, and I postponed my flight until Sunday. So I didn't leave till Sunday. And I had taken a lot of things out of my office because I needed the accounting information because I didn't know if we would be able to retrieve that.
That's pretty quick thinking.
And I also had changed into my boots from my heels, so I had to go back into my office to do that. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I went to the ladies' room beforehand, and I took a lot of wet paper towels from the ladies' room to put it over my face.
That acted as some sort of mask.
Yeah, a bit of a deterrent, but it only lasted about 10 flights, and then...
Good. Nice try.
And it was totally dry by the 10th floor.
Gosh. Why don't you tell our listeners what you did briefly?
I was a bond portfolio manager. I managed mutual funds for the fixed income division. And prior to that, I had initially, you know, I had an MBA. I went to Chemical Bank, worked on both through their MBA training. I went through their trading desk as well as the portfolio management group, which was consulting to small regional banks and on how they should set up their portfolios and bonds. And then subsequent to that, I got hired by an insurance company, and we did both mutual funds as well as pension funds. And then when I got to Dean Witter, I was working with the mutual funds and annuities.
And that's when the bombing occurred.
Yeah.
And you stayed with Dean Witter through the rest of your career?
Yes. And then I was there until we had been purchased by Morgan Stanley, and eventually Morgan Stanley spun off almost anybody who had been with Dean Witter.
And that was 2001?
Yeah.
Now, let's go back to the question about going back to work. I don't know. Maybe it's my fear of heights or something. But if I found out there was a bombing, the first question on my mind would be, do these engineers really, can they really assure us that this is safe? And the second question in my mind would be, oh my gosh, could this happen again? There had to be a little terror about, or post-traumatic stress about this whole matter.
Yeah, there was, in the sense that we were told to go to Harborside instead of going back to the building. So we were relocated for a couple
long?
Of months.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, they had to retrieve all the stuff that they had there that was still in good condition. They had to, you know, recalculate all the numbers, but many of it was on computers, so it didn't matter.
If the management decides alongside of the engineers to go back, you had enough confidence in their expertise that, you know, it's been a couple months, they probably got it taken care of.
Yeah, I mean, I would think after 3 months you could figure out what needed to be done.
And no hesitation at all going up that first day?
No.
70 flights? How many elevator flights
does it take? It's two elevator banks that you have to go to.
Okay, so you'd go up to like the 30th or whatever.
Yeah, you go up to the 44th and then you go up to the 72nd.
And you felt calm returning after a few months?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
The one thing that bothered me, though, is because I lived very close to a mosque on 9th Street.
Yes.
And when I started hearing all this murmuring about, we'll go back and get them, you know, that's when I was concerned, and I tried to alert some of the people at my company, and they didn't believe me. So,
why didn't they believe you?
Because I don't speak Arabic, and this was the April before 9/11, so it was 5 months earlier.
Well, we're flash-forwarding now from the first bombing, just to make sure everybody gets this right timetable-wise. So it's 1992?
1993 was the bombing.
The first bombing.
February.
Yep. And then the 911, of course, happened September 11th. So you transitioned out of that job how many months before 911?
Oh, I left in April.
And it happened in September?
Yes.
You must have had some conflicting thoughts about leaving a job that you were very skilled at, trained, studied for all your life, and then September would have rolled around a couple months later, and you were probably like saying, how did I get out of this?
No, I was just so irritated that I was let go. I mean, our whole department was let go.
Yeah,
you know?
Sure.
But they had said initially that when they were announcing reorganizations that your numbers were going to count. And I was in the group that had my particular numbers were very good. I had a Lipper Award. I had a 4-star rating from Morningstar. And so I didn't think they were going to let me go, but they just wanted to, as they said, well, you know, we could give your job to a married man and all that sort of nonsense. Because back then, they didn't make any bones about that commentary.
And you went up through those times of sexism, not that it's still not there, but it was much rougher 40 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And but you worked so hard, but on the morning of 9-1-1, did you ever think, boy, I that would have just been another day for you?
Yeah.
And where did the plane go into the 9-1-1?
It was above the 72nd floor. I don't know where. I think it hit the 93rd or something.
Yeah. Did you lose any colleagues, any friends?
Well, luckily, the people who I knew well in the building, two of them were out. You know, it was September. Like, I was down the shore. I wasn't in Manhattan. One of my good friends had gone to have her car fixed, so she wasn't at work. A couple of the people who were there, they were able to have friends carry them down the stairs, literally.
That's just remarkable.
Because it happened at 8:35, and the building didn't collapse right away.
When you saw it, did you see the second plane go in?
I was watching it on TV, yeah.
You didn't see the first plane go in, except on tape, right?
On the TV. I was watching TV. I was watching CNBC.
You saw the first. Well, nobody saw the first one go in. The news channels didn't, did they?
They showed the clip right afterwards.
Right afterwards. Because the first thing we heard, being in upstate New York, I was at an expo. Mm-hmm. So you were getting it through the grapevine at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounded like, oh, a little plane hit the World Trade Center by accident.
Right.
And then I heard something on the radio or some means of communication that said President Bush declared this an act of terrorism. And I started saying, oh, my gosh, that opened my eyes a little bit. I don't know what point he said that. However, I will ask you what you must. There's one thing when a plane hits the building. There's another thing when it just collapses. What were you?
Yeah, but there were two planes.
Yes. Well, what were your feelings when you actually saw a place that was kind of second home to you just in seconds fall to the ground? What did that make you think?
Oh, it was terrifying to watch it. And you saw how many people were still streaming out of the building at that time, and you wondered how many got out alive and how many didn't. You just don't know.
Yeah. The tragedy is one thing. The ramifications of seeing something that you're so used to could disappear in minutes. That can happen all through our lives.
Exactly.
Change.
People who will get a tornado hitting their home. People who have a typhoon hit the Philippines and they live in the Philippines.
Just in a second.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. But nobody would have suspected. The Trade Center would be like them hitting the White House.
Well, they tried to do that.
Yeah, but I mean, it would be as
significant
or unthinkable.
And it was unthinkable too, because it's so close to the New York Stock Exchange and the American Stock Exchange. I mean, it's a couple blocks away.
Yeah. In the aftermath of 9-1-1, did you think of returning to work?
Well, I couldn't return to there. I had been laid off.
Right. But I mean, go back into your field.
Oh, yeah. I applied for a lot of jobs. I ended up working only 1 year after that, full time.
And we're going to pause right there. However, there is more to come with today's guest, Paula LaCosta, right here on The Age Sage. But thank you so much for tuning in. And of course, be sure to check out all the episodes of The Age Sage on any major podcast platform. It's The Age Sage with the one and only Robert J. LaCosta.